All right, Tabosai, good morning. Let's begin. We are picking up today's daf, Kuf Yotes, 119, the final daf of Bava Kama. We are picking up 10 lines down from the top, Itmar. So says the Gemara, Itmar, Gazlon me'imas mutar liknos himenu. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. A Gazlon, at what point in time are you permitted to go ahead and purchase from him? So the fundamental question the Gemara is asking over here is, if someone is known to be a thief, so I have to be concerned, obviously, with the fact that whatever property I'm going ahead and buying from him may be stolen property. So is there a point where ultimately I would be permitted to go ahead and buy from the Gazlon? So Rav Amar Achite Rav Mishalo. So Rav says it has to be that the majority of his property belongs to him. Rashi says, Rov Mamono Mishalo below Gazelo. So we'll say if the majority of the Gazlon's property, meaning he's a thief, but the majority of the stuff that he owns actually belongs to him. So then Lemaisa again, so Uncle Man, can you do me a big favor? Can you just grab me a chumash actually from the shul? I forgot to grab one. Thank you. So Rav says, until the majority ultimately of his property belongs to him, until the majority of the property belongs to him, up until that point, or I should say, once he reaches that point that the majority of his property belongs to him, then you may go ahead and purchase from him. Because then the assumption is that when you purchase something, you're purchasing something from the rov, from the majority, which is not stolen property. Shmuel says, no, even if the minority of his property belongs to him, in other words, the majority of the stuff that he owns is stolen, Shmuel says you are still permitted to go ahead and purchase from him. Thank you very much. So Rashi points out over here, Afilu miyot shelo, talinan va'aminan hai midi diyohiv le midi dehu. Because even if the minority is owned by him, we still say that this particular item that you are going ahead and purchasing from him, ultimately, again, is his own property. Interestingly enough, it almost sounds like what Shmuel is saying is, you know, we have the concept of both sides, called the parish, meruba parish, that, you know, when you look at each item individually, so each item by itself could be viewed ultimately, again, as the personal property of the ganav. So machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Orilei Rav Yehuda la'adar daylo kidivya omra filo miyot shalom. And the Gemara just says that Rav Yehuda instructed Ada Daila. So Ada is the individual's name. Daila is apparently the term that's used, that he was a Shamish de Rabbanon. He was an individual who went ahead and used to serve the rabbis. So Rav Yehuda said to Ada Daila that you are permitted to go ahead and purchase from a ganav, even if what? Even if Lamaisa, only the minority of his assets are owned by him. In other words, even if there's a chashash that the majority of his property is stolen, because we're both saying essentially what we're saying over here is, we're not looking at majority versus minority. We're looking at each individual item. And since when I buy this individual item from the ganav, it's possible to say that this item is not stolen. As long as I can claim that this item is potentially not stolen, I am permitted in Meretz Hashem to make the purchase. Mamon, Masr. So we'll say now the Gemara asks another Shaila. What about the money of a Masr? A Masr is a Moser, right? Someone who goes ahead and hands over Jews to the government. So again, we've spoken about this individual already a couple of times before. What is the status about 14 lines down, Rabbi Osei, from the top? Last three words on line, Mamon Moser. So what is the status of the property of a Moser? Afun of Rav Yehuda, Chad Amar Mutar La'abdo Biyad. So one said you are permitted to destroy the property of a Moser. The Chad Amar Asr La'abdo Biyad. And one said you are not permitted to destroy the property of a Moser. Man Amar Mutar La'abdo Biyad. Lo Yehi Mamonu Chamar Megufo. So one said, the one who said that you could destroy the Mamon, the property of the Moser, with your hand, because again, his money should be no more important than his body. We'll say, what does that mean? That just like you're permitted to kill a Moser, as we saw again from the episode yesterday with Rav Kahana, so just like you're permitted to, on Sunday I should say, so just like you're permitted to kill the Moser, so too you're permitted to go ahead and destroy his money. Uman do amar asr la abdo, and the one who says that it is prohibited to destroy his money, dilma havile zara ma'alyo, perhaps he will have righteous offspring, uksiv Yochin Rasha Bitsadik Yilbash. And the Pasuk says that the Rasha will go ahead and prepare and the tzaddik will go ahead and wear. In other words, that we think that perhaps even though this individual, this maser, is a rasha, at the end of the day he may have righteous offspring. So therefore, don't destroy the property, because this way again the righteous offspring could benefit from the property. Rav Chista, Harili Ahu Arisa. So we are now Kuf Yutes 119a. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, about 22, 23 lines down from the top. Two dots. Rav Chista v'li ha'hu arisa, David takil v'yoiv, takil v'shakil. So we'll say Rav Chista had an aris, a sharecropper, who would go ahead, literally, measure and give, measure and take. Now we'll say, if you look at Rashi, so in other words, what this sharecropper was doing was, he would measure, take for himself, measure, give to Rav Chista. Measure, take for himself. Measure, give to Rav Chista. What's the problem? So look at Rashi. Takil v'shakil. So Rashi says, l'nafshei midaktik pechaluka ve'ino mevater mechelko klum. Loshun acher, mechza hayonotel v'darsharis and litol shlush. So we'll say one of two problems. Either again, he was taking more than his appointed portion. In other words, he was taking half, whereas sharecroppers really only normally take a third, or it's actually quite beautiful. According to the first approach of Rashi, the problem was that he was being too exact with the measurements. We'll say in life, there's a midah of vatranus. Vatranus means that even if you are potentially entitled to something, there's a concept ultimately of yielding certain things to others, to being a mevater. So this individual is too much of a medaktik, not enough of a mevater. Either way, salke. So Salke, Rav Chista removed him from being a sharecropper, because they fired him. So Kara Anafshe, Rav Chista then said about himself the following pasuk: Vitzafon Letzadik Chel Chote, and that which is hidden for the tzadik is the treasure of the sinner. In other words, that again, the righteous will be able to inherit that which originally belonged to the Chote. So to over here, Rav Chista gained obviously by firing the sharecropper, because Lamaisa now he had more for himself. Kima Tikvas Chanaf. For at the end of the day, what is the hope of the Rasha? In this case, Chanaf means the Rasha. Ki yibatza, ki yishal elokan nafsho. For he ultimately will steal, and God will cast away his soul. Rav Huna of Rav Chista, chadamar nafsho dringzal. So we'll say, then the shayla is, whose soul is being cast away? So Rav Chad Amar Nafsho Dinigzal. One opinion is that we're talking about the soul of the person ultimately who was stolen from, the victim. The Chad Amar Nafsho Shal Gazlon. And one said that God will cast away the soul of the Gazlon, the thief. Mandamar Nafsho Shal Nigzal. The one who says we're talking about the soul of the victim. Dichsiv. Kein Archos Kobot Seabetzas Nefesh Ba'alav Yikach. Because the pasuk says that when you steal from someone else, so you're taking their soul, right? Even though, again, we don't live for our money, but often we're able to live because of our money, and because you go ahead and you steal from someone, you're literally robbing them of life. Mandar Menafshel Shal Gazlon, the one who says that the pasuk is referring ultimately to the soul of the Gazlon, Dichsiv, Al Tigzal Dal Kidalhu. Don't steal from the pauper, for he is poor. Va'al tedake ani bishar. Do not go ahead and oppress the poor at the gates. Ki Hashem yariv rivam, because God will fight their fights. V'kava es kovehem nefesh, and he will go ahead and literally, Rashi says, kava es kovehem nefesh, gozal nefesh gozlehem. God will steal the soul of those who steal from them. So Moshe said, clearly you see over here that the lost soul, so to speak, is a reference ultimately to the Gazlon. That just like the Gazlon, just like the thief, ultimately went ahead and caused damage to the victim, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reciprocate and cause damage to the thief. So what does the other opinion do with the fact that the Pasuk says he will take the soul, bless you, he will take the soul of the owner, which sounds like, again, we're talking about the fact that the person who's going to be most affected by the theft is the victim. So my Baalov, what does it mean when it says owner? Baalov the hashta. It means the person who owns it now, which is a reference to the thief. Yet again, what does the other opinion do with the fact that the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and steal the soul of those who stole, which sounds like, again, the punishment that the pasuk is referring to is upon the thief. So the Gemara says, So the pasuk is reading as a matam. The pasuk is reading almost as a cause and effect. What's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and steal the soul of those who stole? In other words, punish ultimately the thief. Mishum de kavoy nefesh, because ultimately, again, they took the nefesh of another. Which is an incredible yisod, which is how careful we have to be with the property of another. Because even though, again, we try not to be materialistic beings, but there's a lot of ourself that's wrapped up in our materialism, right? The person works hard, they produce things, they buy things, they create things. There's a big part of me that's wrapped up in that which is material. Again, shouldn't be an overemphasis. When you harm someone materially, ultimately, again, Chazal understand that you're harming the individual to his very core. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol gozo es chaveiro shaveh pruta, kilu nota l'shmaso mimenu. What's an amazing Gemara. If you go ahead and you steal from your friend a shaveh pruta, it is as if you are taking his life. It's as if you're taking his life. Shene emar, kein archos kol botzea betza es nefesh ba'alav yikach. This is the way of every person who steals. He takes the soul of his owner. Va'omer, and the pasuk says, va'achal ketzir chavalach mecha, banecha ubeno secha. Because as the pasuk says, he will eat your ketzircha, that which you harvest. Lach mecha, your bread. Banecha ubeno secha, your sons and your daughters. Va'omer, mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafchu damnaki ba'artzam. Says from the theft of b'nei Yehuda, of the children of Yehuda, who spilled innocent blood in their land. Va'omer, el sha'ul ve'el beis hadamim, al asher heimes es hagivonim. And furthermore, we'll say, so again, the point the Gemara is making over here is, you see the connection between theft and bloodshed. Theft and bloodshed. What's the connection? The connection is, Rabbi said, it's when you go ahead and you steal from someone, it's ki'ilu notel nishmaso. It's as if, now again, it's as if you're taking his life. Rabbi said, again, so understand this, we're going to understand this Gemara in a certain way in just a moment, but even before we explain according to the Gemara, what it's saying over here is, people put their lives into making their parnasa. People, like most of us, don't work recreationally. So we put our lives into making a parnasa. And when you damage someone financially or materially, so the Chazal literally understood it to mean that you're hurting a person in their very life essence, in their very core. And the Gemara therefore equates that with you steal a shaveh pruta from someone, mamish kilu notel nishmaso. What does it mean, notel nishmaso? Person puts their neshama into earning their parnasa. When you go ahead and you take that from someone, you're harming their very life, their very neshama. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, now also the Gemara quotes the pasuk, El Sha'ol ve'el Beis Hadamim, ala sherhimis es ha-givonim. To Sha'ol, to Beis Hadamim, that Sha'ol killed the givonim. So the Gemara says, Mai va'omer, so v'chitema nefesh didei, aval nefesh banav v'beno savlo. So maybe you'll say, also before we get to Sha'ol and givonim, maybe you'll say, the pasuk says, Nefesh Didei. The pasuk says that when you steal from someone, you're mamish harming the nefesh of the victim himself. Aval nefesh banav ubino savlo. But perhaps you're not really harming his offspring. Tashma basar banav ubino savlo. Therefore, the pasuk comes to include the flesh of his son and his daughter, a reference to the idea that when you steal from someone, not only are you harming the individual, but what? You're also harming the extended family. Which Rabbi says is an incredible yisod in general. You know, This is more a topic for Aseres Yemei Tshuva. You know, it's interesting that there's a real chilek between Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva / Yom Kippur. That Rosh Hashanah is much more about Ben Adam L'Makom. It's much more between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus Aseres Yemei Tshuva in Yom Kippur, where we introduce the dynamic of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. One of the often overlooked aspects of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro infractions is the impact of what you do to someone else on that person's circle of people. You know, we often think, if I harm Reuven, so ultimately, again, I'm harming Reuven. This is between me and Reuven. What we don't understand is, when I harm Reuven, so what happens, Rabbi Hussein? So Reuven has a wife, so we all know, when you have a bad day, sometimes, again, that has an impact on your spouse, and sometimes it has an impact on your children. When there is a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro infraction, there's a ripple effect, not just on the actual victim, but on all of those, ultimately, again, in the victim's orbit as well. That's also the pshat over here. When you go in and you steal from someone, it's not just the victim you're affecting, it's Panav Ubenosov as well. V'chitei mahani mili heichad lo yoavdomi, aval heichav yoavdomi lo. Tashma, mechamas pnei Yehuda sheshafchu damnaki ba'artzam. So I would have thought that maybe it's only considered to be difficult theft, meaning you're only liable for theft if what? If you go ahead and you don't pay any money. But if you do chamas, remember again, what's chamas? So chamas ultimately is where you go ahead and you take something with force, but you pay the money. but you pay the money. So I might have thought that's not so bad. To which the Gemara says, "Mechamas b'nei Yehuda she'shafchu dam." So the Torah says, not Torah, but the Navi says, from the Hamas of b'nei Yehuda. So you see over here that calls it the Hamas of b'nei Yehuda she'shafchu dam naki. So we'll say, even though again the b'nei Yehuda were paying the money, ultimately, the act of Hamas itself is considered to be like Shrichos Damim. So we'll say first of the widest lines on the bottom. I might have thought the only time I'm chayiv, if I steal from someone, is if I steal directly, that's when it's called Shrichos Damim. But if it's just grama, if it's causative loss, then perhaps it's not like I'm spilling his blood. Tashma el sha'ul ve'el beis hadamim, ala sherhemes is hagibonim. Aye, but because of Shaul and the Beis Hadamim, the fact that he spilled the blood because he killed the Givonim. Now, we'll say, since that asks the Gemara, V'chi heichan matzinu shaharag Shaul es ha-Givonim. Now, when did Shaul kill the Givonim? We don't have any episode recorded in Navi of Shaul killing the Givonim. Ela mitok shaharag nov ira kohanim, shayu maspikim lahem maimu mazon, ma'ala alav akasav kilu hargan. But because Shaul went ahead and killed out Nov, the city of Kohanim, who supplied the Givonim with food and water, the Navi makes it as if Shaul killed the Givonim. We'll say again, remember the story with Nov. This is after David was anointed as king by Shmuel. So remember again, Shaul runs after him to kill him. Shaul feels that David is a threat to his monarchy. Shaul, unfortunately, is lost in his own dynamic in this particular episode. What happens? David escapes to the city of Nov, Ir Kohanim. Now, no one knows that David is on the run from Shaul. David actually says he's on a mission from the king. Why does he go to Nov? This is actually amazing. He goes to Nov for two reasons. He goes to Nov because he needs food. He also goes to Nov because he needs weapons. He had to run away from home. Remember, he had to sneak out and he couldn't take weapons with him. What does he get in Nov? In Nov was kept the sword and the shield of Goliath. Amazing. David's first military victory. He goes to Nov to get the sword and the shield. Shaul has an advisor by the name of Doeg HaEdomi. Doeg sees that he's fine. Doeg sees that David is in Nov. He reports back to Shaul that Nov are collaborating with David, that they're all conspiring against you to overthrow you. Shaul is just consumed by so many different negative emotions, comes in, wipes out the city of Nov. Literally obliterates the city of Nov. So the Gemara says over here, why does the Pasuk say that Shaul wiped out the Givonim? He didn't wipe out the Givonim. Rather, says the Gemara, because the city of Nov supported the Givonim, wiping out the city of Nov effectively wiped out the Givonim as well. So from here you see that not only is it considered to be Shvichos Damim if one goes ahead and actively steals, but even Gramadika stealing, right? Even causative stealing, ultimately, again, one is chayiv. And also, when we say chayiv, remember we spent a lot of time speaking about grama. Whether or not you're actually chayiv, you know, bedine adam in grama is a different discussion. But here, the pasuk says, "Maklapi shmayo," in the eyes of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So one goes weiter. Avalochim min anoshim. So also, remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea of certain things that you are permitted to go ahead and purchase from a woman, and there is no concern that she's selling off her husband's property without his knowledge. So the Gemara says, so you could purchase from women woolen garments in Yehuda. Because we'll say again, in Yehuda, there was a surplus of wool. So therefore, it was common for a woman to operate her own little side business for wool. You could buy wool from her. Ukli pishtan begalil, linen in the Galil. Avalo yenos ushmanim usolasos. But we'll say, you cannot buy wine, oil, and fine flour. Not from women, not from servants, and not from children. Because they're both saying, again, the concern over here in all of these situations is that Lamaisa, this may be the property of the husband / father / master, and they're selling it without his knowledge, without his consent, which would constitute an act of theft. Abishol says, Mocheres isha ba'arba v'chamisha dinar kadei la'asos kipal arosha. It was normal for a woman to go, it's actually interesting, normal for a woman to go ahead and sell four or five different things for a dinar in order to buy herself la'asos kipa l'rosha, buy a shetel, right? To buy a woman wanted a shetel upgrade. So it was normal for a woman to go ahead and a normal woman to sell stuff. So I mean, what the Gemara is saying over here is it was it's always normal for a woman to sell certain things so that she has extra money for herself. That's fine. When she begins, however, selling things on a larger scale, so then we have to look at what the region is and what the item is. If it's a region where this particular item is normally in surplus, then that's fine. If it's not an item in surplus, the concern is that it may be the husband's, and Lamaisa, she's selling it without his consent. The Kulan Sha'amru Lahat Min Asr. Remember, the Klal Gadol over here is whenever you buy something from someone, and they say, please don't tell anyone, right? Or let's keep this between us, then it's going to be Asr. This is amazing. Gabai Tztaka Lochim Davar Muat Valo Davar Maruba. Bosei Tztaka collectors are only permitted to take a small amount from women, but not a lot. Out of a concern, again, that if she's giving a lot, it may be her husband's money. Now, Bosei, of course, this is not talking about a case where it's known that a woman has her own money. Remember, we learned in Kiddushin that a woman could absolutely set up a scenario where she does not get her husband's money. She, let's say, earns her own salary. She says, you keep yours, I'll keep mine. In a situation like that, obviously, this halacha doesn't apply. But in a regular case where the assumption is that the husband is supporting the wife, her ma'aseh adayim, her earnings are going to the husband, the gabbai tzedaka should only take a little from her and should not take a lot. Avalov merubo v'habadidin, lochin mehen zeisin b'mida, v'shemen b'mida, avalos zeisin b'muat, v'shemen b'muat. And I will say again, the badidin, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, actually it's Rashi on two different columns. I'm sorry. Actually, no. Ba'abadidin. Rashi says it's on the left hand column, third line down. Ba'abadidin. Ba'ale beis habad shemisgorin pein b'shemen lochim min anashim zeisin b'shemen b'mida. So we'll say the people who own the olive presses, right? The olive press owners could go ahead and accept from the women. So olives, lochim shemisgorin pein b'shemen lochim min anashim zeisin b'shemen b'mida. Kolomar derech mechira befarhesya v'davar meruba de'en yechola lignov kozos v'lasos v'tzinah. So we'll say, if a woman comes to the olive press with a large amount of olives, that's fine, because the assumption is she's doing it for the household. If it's smaller amount of olives, we get a little bit concerned. Is this something ultimately, again, that she's taking for the household on her own without the knowledge or consent of her husband? Bigalil ha'elyon, I'm sorry, fine. Shepamim adam bosh, I just lost the place. Lochim min hashem zesim em what? Says that in the Galil HaElyon, in the Upper Galilee, you can go ahead and accept from a woman even smaller amounts of olives. Why? Because sometimes a man needs to generate a little extra parnasa. How does he generate extra parnasa? By selling some oil. He has an oil stand in the front of his house, but it's embarrassing for him to do it. So sometimes he'll ask his wife to do it on his behalf, and she'll take the smaller amount of oil, small amount of olives, to go ahead and get pressed into oil. So the Gemara says, Ravina ikla lebe mechuzah. Ravina went to the city of Mechuzah. Abbas Rashi says, Ravina was a gabbai tzedakah. He was a tzedakah collector. He went to Mechuzah. Asu nashi debe Mechuzah, rami kale kavli vishiri. So we'll say what happens. He went to Mechuzah, and the women of Mechuzah were very generous, and began to give him kavli vishiri. Rashi says, kavli is sharshero zav, golden chains. Shiri are bracelets. So they began to give their jewelry as tzedakah. So kabbal minayu, he accepted it. Amrei Rabbi Tosol, Ravina v'hatanya, gabbai tzedakah mekavli mehen davar muat, avalo davar meruba. I, Barebi, how can you do that? After all, again, we learned that a gabbai tzedakah is only permitted to take a small gift from women, not a large gift from women. Amrei, hani livnei mechuzah davar muat nenu. The people of Mechuzah were very wealthy. So for the women of Mechuzah, a gold chain or a gold bracelet was considered to be a token donation. Pretty amazing. Says the Mishnah, Muchin, Shakobis Motze, Hari Elushla. So again, this is talking about a launderer. So if a launderer goes ahead and has kubin are little tufts of wool. So after he launders the clothing, there's a little bit of wool left inside of the launderer's bucket or pail. So he's permitted to go ahead and keep. The launderer is permitted to keep that wool. So the Gemara says, Vasorik motzi hare elu shabala bayis. But I will say somebody who combs wool, whatever strands of wool come out because of the combing, that belongs to the owner of the wool, not to the wool comber. Kobeis notel gimel chutin dehin shelo. So I will say we'll see that the launderer is able to take the three strands at the end of the garment, and they belong to him. I will say what the Gemara is going to point out is that when they used to make garments, they would leave some additional strands at the end of the garment. So when the launderer goes ahead and launders the clothing, he could take those extra strands for himself. Yes, Remi came. Hari the shavala bayis. More than three strings, it belongs to the owner of the garment. Vim hayashach or agabi lavan notin asakal. We'll say, and if the strings at the end of the garment were black, and the garment itself is white, so then the kobis, the launderer, could take all of the extra strings, even if there are more than three. So the Gemara says, "Achai chesira sechot kadei lit barbo umat l'shi gimel al gimel hara elu shabala bayis." Similarly, if the tailor went ahead and left additional thread at the end of the garment, kadei lit barbo, enough to sew, we'll see an additional loop on the garment. Or he also fashioned a piece of cloth that is three finger breadths by three finger breadths. Hare elu shabalabais. We'll say these are more significant, and these additional pieces of material will belong to the owner of the garment. Masha charesh motzi b'matzad hare elu shelo. We'll say whatever a carpenter, if a carpenter is working with wood, whatever he goes ahead and whatever shavings he creates with a matzad. So matzad is some type of utensil. Rashi says over here, matzad, he quotes a French word, ketana umachlik bas hanasarim ushefanhu mashved dakinhein. So we'll say some type of utensil used for shaving wood. Those shavings ultimately belong to the carpenter. Ube kashil, but if he's using a kashil, we'll say kashil is an axe, shabalabai. So we'll say, see here the distinction, when you're using this shaving utensil, so the shavings are very fine, very little. So therefore, the balabayas, the assumption is, doesn't really want them or need them. He's miyayish on them. It's hefker. Therefore, the carpenter could keep it. On the other hand, when you're chopping wood with an axe, those splinters, or that's the right word, those...
Chips,
right? Could go ahead and be more significant. And therefore, the ma'aseh, again, the balabayis ultimately retains ownership over them. Vim haya osa eitz balabayis, afen asar shel balabayis. But I will say, if the carpenter was working in the balabas's rishus, then the ma'aseh, again, even the sawdust belongs to the balabayis. Says the Gemara, turn about alochim muchim in a kobis mishnah shalov. So I'll say, remember again, the Mishnah said that Right. So we'll say the Braisa says that you can go ahead and take the wool from the kubin, the muchin, the leftover wool strands, because they belong to him. We'll say ultimately again, so for number one, the kobis could go ahead and keep the leftover woolen residue that's in the washing basin after he washes the clothing. Number two, he could take the two upper strings on the garment of clothing, because those are extra. Below amud beis, below yatil bo, Yoser Mishlosha Chovin. But ultimately, again, so the Rashi says, Lo Yatil Bo Yoser Migimel Chovin, Derech Hasarkin, Losis Lulos Shotave Bimachat, Lo Arkosha Begit. So I'll say, so those who go ahead and fashion the garment should not go ahead and make more than three stitches per loop. Below, this is just giving instructions about how much actually. Apparently, when they used to make garments, they would leave some amount of additional material on the end of the garment. So that was done in case somebody wanted to make an extra loop or they needed extra material. Below yisrok habeged l'shesiyot ela l'arvo. When first of all, when combing wool, you should not comb it vertically. Rather, you should comb it horizontally. Umeshavi la'arka below l'rachba, and you should arrange it ultimately according to its length, and not according to its width. Vimba lahashibo. So, if ultimately, again, if you want to go ahead and cut off part of the beged in order to make the material equal, to even out the beged, ad tefach rashoy. Ultimately, again, the tailor is permitted to go ahead and take off up to a tefach of material. Amar mar shnei chutin. So remember again, the Braisa just said that Lamaisa, you're permitted to take the two strings off the end of the garment, but yet our Mishnah said that the launderer is permitted to take three strings. So what's going on over here? Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Haba'alimi, habiketani. So Rashi says over here, Haba'alimi, gasin shnayim. When it's thick thread, you could take two. Or katini, ultimately, again, will mean smaller set or thinner thread, you could take three. Remember, again, the Braisa said that when combing wool, you should comb wool vertically and not horizontally. But yet we learn just the opposite. So what's the contradiction? Different types of garments, different depending on the nature of the wool, the thickness of the wool, had to be combed in different ways. So Rashi says over here, galima talis hasui lechoyom. So if you're combing out the glima, which is the cloak you're going to wear every single day, so you go ahead and you comb that leshesio vertically. On the other hand, if you're going ahead and you're combing the wool, that's going to be the sarbala, so ultimately, again, that's combed horizontally. Okay? And you don't go ahead and put on it more than three additional, literally it's three stitches per loop. So the Gemara says, Bayrab Yemia, Amtuye Vaasuye. So we'll say, here's the Shaila. When we say stitches, does that refer ultimately again to passing the needle through and bringing it back? Old Dilma Amtuye Vaasuye Tre. So we'll say, do we say that bringing the needle in and taking it back is two stitches, or is that one stitch? To which the Gemara says, Teku. Out of all the ones that Eliyahu is going to have to answer, I'm sure this one will be the easiest. So we'll say, and when arranging the garment, right, or when I should say, when flattening the garment, so you do it according to its length and not according to its width. V'atanya epcha, Rabbi said, we learned just the opposite. Lo kasha habeglima habehim yuni. So we'll say again, not a kasha. One is talking about a regular garment. One is talking about himyuni is a belt, right? The chagura. Tan rabbanan. So we'll say you can't go ahead and purchase from the comber. Sorik is the person who combs the wool. You can't purchase from a muchin, tufts of wool, because the concern is that what? They're not his. The concern is that Lamais, again, that's wool that came from a garment that he had combed. And remember, we spoke about before that the wool comber does not get to keep the wool that he combed. They will say in a place where ultimately, again, they allow the wool comber to keep the wool. So then Lamais, again, you can't purchase it from him. Wherever you are permitted to purchase from the person who combs the wool a pillow filled with muchin, or a keses, or I should say a cushion, or a pillow filled with muchin. I will say muchin are tufts of wool. Why is that? And I will say, now why shouldn't I be concerned that if the wool comber suddenly gets into the pillow business, that perhaps he's stuffing the pillow with stolen wool? To which the Gemara says, my taima kanin hu b'shinui. Because I will say, A, maybe he didn't steal it, and B, even if he did steal it, he's kona bishinui. We'll say, remember again, that when you steal something and you change it, by definition, that affects a kinyan. So even technically speaking, if he did steal it, lamaisa now he is the rightful owner. It's true, he's going to have to go ahead and make amends. He's going to have to go ahead and repay the victim, but lamaisa he is now the rightful owner of that item. Ten rabban. So we'll say, now we're going to talk about the different things that you can't purchase from a weaver. Somebody who works with a loom, so with such the idea is like this. If a guy working on a loom starts to begin a side business of selling loom parts, that looks a little bit suspicious to us, because the shaila is, where is he getting the loom parts from? So it says the Gemara, Im lochin migardi, lo irin. So mostly these are all just different parts of the loom. Irin are stoppers, velo nirin, heddles, velo punkelin. So punkelin, we'll say, literally are bobbins. That's the Jastro says. A piece of a loom, velo shiure pikios, and we'll say, not leftover rolls of thread, aval lochin mehen beged menumar. But Rabbi said, what you can go ahead is you could buy a beged. Now, beged menumar literally means like a spotted beged. A garment with a design, ultimately, again, from this individual. Because Rabbi said, again, also, the assumption is that as much as he may be going ahead and taking pieces from the loom, Lamaisa, if he goes ahead and he makes a garment, so at the end of the day, again, even if it is fashioned with stolen items, as we just said before, what? Shinui kona. Ultimately, again, a change in the item affects acquisition. So Ari Vishesi, Tavi Va'arig, So Amri Hashta, Tavi Shakli, Arug Mibai. So we'll say these are different types of fabric. So if you look at Rashi says over here, First of all, begim minumar kilomar filo minumar betzavan har be'af apishar gian lindavar shagana batzemem in abegadim shag lokin hainu lokin mehen dekanin b'shino. So fine, that's begim minumar. If he goes ahead and he sells a garment that's made out of a bunch of different types of wool, so lemaisa again, even though it looks like maybe he patched together a whole bunch of different stolen patches, at the end of the day, even if it was stolen, it was kona b'shinoi. If you look at the next Rashi, tabi ba'arig hainu irin de amran lo yikach im teloin hagardi lochin de kanino b'shinoi. So we'll say that which we said before, that you cannot go ahead and purchase the stoppers. So again, arig b'shesi tabi ba'arig are just different types of stoppers that were created through putting wool together. Remember, the stoppers are apparently some type of piece on the loom that acts as a stopper on the loom. So you would fashion that out of wool itself as well. So if you fashion these different types of stoppers, the halacha is amri hashta tabi shakli arug miboi. So we'll say ultimately again, if you said that he could go ahead and purchase the tabi, so do you have to include arug? My arig, so what is arig? Says the Gemara Tichi. Rashi says, shirashos, are woolen chains. So both sides, the common denominator in all of these cases is, even if technically the wool is stolen, lemaisa, again, the thief was kona it with a shinui, and therefore he's able to sell. Tan Rabbana, in lo chiminat tzava, lo osos, lo dugmos, lo klushim shel tzemer. Both say, you can't take a tzava, is a dyer, someone who dyes things. You can't go ahead and take from the dyer osos. So both say, osos, is Rashi is who says, kishim avin lo bega litzva, chotech mimeno ma'at, osos are samples. So samples over here means that if I bring my wool to the dyer to go ahead and dye it, I want it dyed black. He'll cut off a little piece of my wool to see the quality of my wool, if the dye will take in the wool. So apparently often those samples are, those samples really belong to the owner of the wool. So therefore I can't go ahead and take from the dyer osos and lo dugmos. So what Rashi says is dugmos means that if I want my wool dyed black, there are different shades of black. So the maisa, again, I go ahead and I bring him a sample of wool of the color that I like. That also really belongs to the balabas, doesn't belong to the dyer. So therefore, he can't purchase these items from the dyer as well. Below tulushim shel tzemer, and not tulushim shel tzemer means tufts of wool. Avalukin mehen beget zavua, but you can purchase from the dyer a dyed garment. Tabi. Tavi begadim, you could also go ahead and purchase from him. Well, tavi is garments. Tavi begadim are garments made of spun thread. Hashta tavi shakel begadim ibai. So, we'll say if I could go ahead and purchase from him garments, does it not go without saying that I could purchase items from spun thread as well? My begadim. So, we'll say what does begadim mean? Nimate, it means felt garments. So, we'll say the idea again, it's all the same yisod. The same yisod is that there are certain things that I can't purchase from him if there's a concern that they're stolen and then they're in their original form. But if the item has had a changed form, then lemais again I am permitted to purchase it from the dyer. Turn around, Barnabas and Orisla Abdon Hakitsuin Baklushin Hara Elu Shalo. We'll say if I give a hide to a tanner. So the kitsun and the solution of Osei are the little pieces of the hide that ultimately, again, are cut off or are shaved off in the tanning process. Those belong to the tanner. So, however, hakitsun bat solution, I'm sorry, hakitsun bat solution, harei elu shabal abayis, excuse me, I said that wrong. So ultimately, again, the shavings and the stuff that comes off of the hide, that belongs to the balabas, that belongs to the owner of the hide. Va'ola mishatef b'mayim harei elu shalo. We'll say apparently part of the process of tanning a hide is you put it like in a tanning wash. Anything that comes off of the hide in that wash ultimately belongs to the tanner. Vim hayashachar. Am Rabbi Yehuda. Katz Rishme v'katz Rishakil. So we'll say look at Rashi for just a moment. Katz Rishme v'katz Rishakil. Hakobis nikra katzra b'loshan arami. U'katz Rishu mekatzra min abeger ihu shakile v'dideyu. So we'll say remember again. So the Mishnah said if the threads at the end of the garment ultimately are black, then what? Then the kobes, the launderer is permitted to keep all of them, even more than three. So Rabbi Huda says, in Aramaic, we call a launderer a katzra, and in reality, that's what he does. He's been katzra from Lashon, I'm making it shorter, because he takes the threads at the end of the garment. Amar Rabbi Huda, hakol olin leminyan tcheles, the Yitzchak b'ni kapit ha'abos, is actually a fascinating halacha. The halacha is that tzitzis must be at least a thumb's length away from the corner of the bag. I mean, you can't hang your tzitzis exactly on the corner of your beged. It has to be at least from the knuckle of the thumb to the top, that distance between the corner of the beged and my tzitzis. What the Gemara is saying over here is that those threads that hang off the beged, they count as part of the beged. So they count ultimately, again, as part of the measurement for how high the tzitzis have to be. However, again, he says, my son Yitzchak was makbid, and my son Yitzchak would only go ahead, he would first remove those strands from the edge of the baguette and only then put the tzitzis on. Hachayit sheshira sachut. So we'll say similarly again, if the tailor went ahead and left the threads at the end of the baguette, v'kamalit bar, so we'll say, and again, how much, ultimately again, is necessary to go ahead and sew additional loops. In other words, that the tailor would go ahead and leave additional thread at the end in case somebody wanted to go ahead and sew a little bit more. So how much do you need to be left? Amar Rav Asi, mali mechet chutz lemechet. So Rav Asi said, a needle's length outside of the needle. So you must, what does that mean? Ibailu, mali mechet v'chutz lemechet ki mali mechet. Does that mean a needle's length of thread plus an additional needle's length of thread? In other words, two needles' length of thread. Al dilma, mali mechet v'chutz lemechet mashu. Or does it mean a needle's length? And ultimately, again, just a little bit additional. Tashma, tisanya, chayet sheshira sachut, pachos mikidei litvorbo. So what's we learned? That if the tailor went ahead and left the thread less than the amount ultimately necessary to go ahead and sew with, umat l'shipachusa mishalosh al shalosh, or a piece of fabric that is less than shalosh al shalosh, bizman shebalabayis makbid aleihen hari elu shebalabayis. Ultimately, again, when the balabayis is makbid on it, so then they belong to the balabayis. Ain balabayis makbid aleihen. If the balabayis is not makbid on it, hari elu shelo. Ultimately, again, they could belong in this case to the launder. Iamrit b'shalom mali mechet b'chutz lemechet ki mali mechet. See, if you're seeing the additional amount of thread left on the garment is a needle's length, in addition to an additional needle's length, in other words, two needles' length, then I understand. I'm sorry, I just lost the place. So, Bishlam Mali Mechad, Chos Lamechad, Kimali Mechad, Pachos Mikan, Chazi Lesichsa. Because if I say less than that amount, will still be usable for stitching a loop. If you just say that the additional amount of thread left is the needle's length and a little bit more, let's say if you have less than that, then what is it usable for? Rather, I will say you have to say that we're talking about over here a mali mechet v'chutz lemechet ki mali mechet, that the amount of thread normally left at the end of the needle, ultimately, again, that the additional thread left means the needle's amount plus an additional needle's amount. That's the amount of thread left over. Shmamina, indeed, see, this is correct. So, Mashacharash, so both remember again, the Mishnah said that whatever a carpenter goes at and shaves off with his planing instrument belongs to him, but with the axe ultimately belongs to the balabas. So we'll say, let's just do one line and then Emir Tashem will finish the rest at the siyum. Or minhu, but we'll ask a kasha, masha harsh motzi masad ba nifsek be megira hari elu shalo. But we'll say, we learned that which the carpenter produces with the matzah, his planing instrument, or that which comes off with an axe, this belongs to the balabayas. Vayotzi mitachas mekadeach umitachas rihitani. But I will say that which the shavings that come off with, actually, mekadeach literally means like a drilling type of instrument. Rihitani is a plane. Vanigrar bimegira. And that which comes out of a saw, hari elu shelo, belongs ultimately again to the carpenter. Amar Rava, but asra de tana didan ikatati chatzini. So we'll say in the locale of our tana, there were two different types of chatzini, two different types of planing instruments or cutting instruments. L'rabasi kari lekshil, for a large one they called it an axe. Ulizutrasi kari le ma'atzot, and for a smaller one they called it a ma'atzot. But asra de tana bra, in the place of the Tana of the Braisa, Chadhu di'ika v'kar l'matza. There was one type of planing instrument and it was called the matza. So we'll say, the point the Gemara is making over here with this is that when you are a carpenter, so l'maisa again, l'maisa, the smaller shavings you get to keep because the assumption is that the balabais is Mayayish on it. The larger ones ultimately again go to the balabas because the assumption he wants. The exception, as we'll see in Mirat Session later, is for larger, if you're working on the property of the balabas. If you're working on the property of the balabas, it's possible that everything ultimately becomes the property of the balabas. I was supposed to stop over here. Mirat Hashem will be Messiah, the Masechta, tonight at the Siyum. Again, hopefully everyone saw the email, 7:15 this evening, here in the shul, actually, Mamish, in this Makom. There will be a beautiful dinner, a beautiful Su'uda, Mirat Hashem. Mincha Marev is earlier, at either 6:45, or the Plag Mincha Minyan is at 5:30. There's also Marev at 9:15 afterwards, Mirat Hashem. Will be Messiah then. Shkoyach.
Sorry,
God bless you.